The Ramen Noodle is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network over at noodle.mx and is sponsored by me and my company, D. Joseph Design. Check out my portfolio over at djosephdesign.com and see how I can make your website look awesome, especially cover art for your podcast. The Ramen Noodle is also brought to you by GoToMeeting and by the makers of We Buy Ugly Houses and We Buy Ugly Cars comes a new service to revolutionize your dating life. It's We Date Ugly People. Call them now or write and visit their website at WeDateUglyPeople.com so that you can get a date tonight. It's time for the Ramen Noodle, episode 55, Plop on the Pitter Patterer. Welcome back to another episode of the Ramen Noodle. I am your host, the Ramen Noodle, also known as Daniel J. Lewis, as we jam out some music here from something I can't remember. It just seemed like something that would fit well for a podcast intro. And also joining me in the studio is Jeremy, my number one co-host on the Ramen Noodle.
Why, thank you. I feel like I'm on some FM talk show.
Oh, I thought you were going to say on some pedestal, since I didn't make fun of you that this too. Time.
I yet. Feel like I'm on a yet. Pedestal. A big black plushy pedestal that is more like a chair.
Your mom puts you on a pedestal.
Wow. And we're back.
It's us. We thought you, or you thought we had you fooled, huh? Or wait. You did
that. Fooled us. I mean, what? Oh.
Joke's on you.
Or us.
Yeah. It, you know, it's great being able to hear laughter from our audience. And by our audience, I mean my wife, who's watching upstairs, and she gets the delayed audio, like a few seconds behind. So I can say something funny and wait a few seconds to wait to see if she actually thought it was funny.
Exactly.
It works good. But this is the comedy podcast, clean comedy podcast, where you come for seasoning packets of comedy to flavor your day. I'm so glad you decided to join us again.
Unless you're being forced to listen because the person driving the car picked the podcast that you're listening to.
At gunpoint.
Yes.
Actually, I added something to the Noodle Mix newsletter that you can subscribe to at noodle.mx. And we're having a giveaway, but I'll share more information on that. I added something to the footer of the email that says, I've never heard of people being held at gunpoint for subscribing to an email newsletter. So you probably subscribe to this newsletter willingly through noodle.mx. Or
nice. Why make assumptions? You got to qualify those assumptions.
Exactly. Because unqualified assumptions are not admittable into a court of law.
Admissible either.
Yeah. They can't admit to unqualified assumptions. I will neither confirm nor deny my unqualified assumptions. But hey, you know what?
What?
Speaking of unqualified assumptions, you know what we assume?
What do we assume?
That the holidays are going to be laid back. And we're going to be able to leave work at the office and not have to. You jest. I mean, I jest, but you joke? Or, wait, you laugh?
Dude, who assumes that?
Exactly. You know that if you're traveling during the holidays, you're probably going to get a call from your boss, or you're still going to be working on your holiday, or something's going to be going on, especially since this is a very busy time for businesses. That's why you need a tool that will help you conduct business when you can't be face-to-face with your clients or colleagues, and you can't attend those meetings because you're sipping eggnog and watching It's a Wonderful Life. But you know what you can do while sipping eggnog and watching It's a Wonderful Life? You can collaborate in documents in real time, give engaging sales presentations by showing your own desktop. all with an incredible tool called GoToMeeting, which is brought to you by Citrix. After just a quick couple minute download of GoToMeeting, you can start scheduling meetings in advance or right on the fly. You could suddenly say, hey, I just got an idea. I want to make plastic out of jelly beans. Oh. And that's inspired, you know, from It's a Wonderful Life. So you could then contact all your colleagues and say, hey, join my GoToMeeting right here. All that they have to do is click a link and they can instantly see your computer desktop on their computer screen. So you can plan and collaborate on making that plastic out of jelly beans. I've used GoToMeeting before and it is really easy, and I hope to use it again in the future. It is nice and easy and has slick features. Our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. That's more than a month of unlimited online meetings free. If you subscribe now, you'll have unlimited meetings for the rest of this year. So for this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click the try it free button, and use promo code podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com, click try it free button, and click the promo code, and use the promo code podcast for your free 45-day trial and have free meetings for the rest of this year. 2010, that is. What are you doing?
Are you done?
Yes, thank you, Citrix. What are you doing over there?
Laughing. You're at making It's fun. A Wonderful Wife and the way you trailed off and you're probably going to get. And at the end, the promo commode. That was really... also at the end, I was mouthing what I wanted you to say. You're like, you'll have free meetings for the rest of your life. That's what I wanted you to say and tried to make you say. And then I just started doing the motions for the sales into the camera.
Oh, okay.
So I have to find a way to entertain myself during that rather long promo.
I thought you were motioning to something like on the cabinet because I moved a couple things around.
Like,
and I thought you were
falling
like
falling on your head.
I thought you were like, that's where that went. Or, I've been looking for that. Or you've been looking for that.
That's awesome. Did you just during that ad suggest that people start useless meetings during the holidays with people? Like, while you're sitting on the couch enjoying the holidays with your family, perhaps you want to start a meeting with your colleagues who are probably also enjoying the holidays with their families.
Hey, when you get a good idea, you have to act on that idea as soon as you can.
And there's no better way to act on a new idea than to have a meeting. Because none of us is as dumb as all of us.
Ooh. You're doing the sponsorship next.
Oh, that's from...
I'll do all the fake sponsors and you do the real sponsors next time.
That, what is that from? Demotivators? Why can I not pronounce this?
Demotivated or something like that. Yeah.
Chat room.
That was quiet.
Yeah,
our random noodle updates are louder than that. There we go. Every now and then something happens within the last week that's funny and we get to share it. And that's what these random noodle updates are about. I thought I'd just clarify that for people who don't know. But I want to mention that this last week, there was a little pattering around in the house and
a little pitter patter.
Yeah.
Already
a little pitter patter. It was Santa Claus. No, it obviously wasn't my dog because my dog isn't here anymore. She's gone on to a better place, which is my parents' farm. So she has more room to run around.
He likes doing that, I think.
And the little pitter patter was not upstairs in the kitchen, but I heard it from downstairs. It was definitely above me, but not upstairs. I went upstairs. Nothing was up there. I came back downstairs. I still heard it above me. And yes, it was a mouse. It was a mouse. Aww. In this section of the roof, or somewhere around this section of the roof that splits my room in half. And it's kind of a low hanging thing.
Ventilation.
Yeah. So it was this little pitter pattering. So I realized there's a mouse here, so or something. So I set a mouse trap for it.
So I said, oh, rats.
And this mouse trap is one of these kinds of mouse traps that is much easier to set. It's not the old-fashioned wood and copper kind.
Those are so terrifying.
Yeah. Well,
they are. I'm scared of them. Every time I went for the cheese, snap, something got hurt.
Would you rather bungee jump or set this mousetrap. Give me the bungee jump cable.
Ah! And at the bottom are 10 mousetraps.
So these mousetraps, though, are much easier. They're made out of plastic, and they're really nicely designed in that it's really easy to use and set without getting injured and all of this. You can even
set a security code for getting the cheese out.
There's a problem with in case I get a little peckish in the night. Whoa, look at this cheese right here. Ow!
Or the mice who are your friends just need something to eat.
Yeah. It's okay, buddy. Just use this promo code podcast. And you can have cheese free for 45 days.
Without getting your gut squished out.
So I set this trap, but the trap has a flaw to it, and that is in the way it's designed, you put the bait in the middle of the trap. There's this hole around the trigger, and so you put the bait in the middle of this, and it holds it there without being on the trigger itself.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, traditional mouse traps, you put the cheese or peanut butter. I use peanut butter because I don't want to waste cheese.
So the last thought going through their little squished minds is,
that's man, not cheese.
Why is the, besides that, man, this stuff sticks to the roof of my mouth.
Yeah. As the roof of their mouth sticks to the mouse trap. Well, that's the problem, though, with this mouse trap. The way it's designed, try and picture this, okay? Traditional mousetraps. Everyone think of a traditional mousetrap. And by the way, I'll try and get some pictures and post them in the show notes, which will be at theramennoodle.com/55. Picture a regular mousetrap. Okay. There's that tiny little thing in the middle that both holds the bait and is the trigger. Okay. So you know what I'm talking about.
Sure. Yes.
Okay. This mousetrap is different. That spot that holds the bait is not a like activates anything. It doesn't activate anything at all. So it instead is surrounded by the trigger, which would seem cleverer because as soon as the mouse touches the trigger, it triggers the trap and catches the mouse.
That sounds good for a mouse trap.
But there's a problem.
Uh-oh.
Is that as soon as the mouse touches it, it triggers the trap.
Before they even get inside?
Exactly. So all that they're usually touching the trap with is their foot or their paw or leg or whatever.
Whatever it is that mice run around on.
Their appendages.
Whatever they pitter-patter with.
They're pitter-patterers. So when that little mouse touches the mouse trap with his pitter-patterer, then it just goes plop on his little pitter-patterer. And it doesn't kill the mouse.
Oh.
It's a very humane trap. It doesn't kill the mouse. It just squeezes his little pitter-patterer to death.
What?
So it catches the mouse by the arm or foot or pitter-patterer. But it doesn't kill the mouse because his head didn't get in there yet for the peanut butter. So forget that whole the second mouse gets the cheese thing. This guy is attached to the trap, but he's still alive. So he could eat the peanut butter at will. Well, the problem is it doesn't kill the mouse. So here's an alive mouse attached to a trap.
Oh,
this
wow.
happened the last couple days. Is at about 4 o'clock in the morning, there's this sound. And I was just barely awake, and that kind of woke me up. And I thought Jenny might be awake too. And so I just said, oh, hey, I think we got that mouse finally.
Because honey, could you go check that?
Because the traps have been set out for a few days. And we finally got it. So I was like, oh, we finally got the mouse. I said, I think. I waited a moment. I heard some noise of moving around, and I said, yep, we got the mouse.
Oh.
Oh, wait. It's still alive.
And I just realized that trap isn't exactly anchored.
Right. So it's dragging this mouse trap all through the walls. And no. It was trying to get away. It was crawling over this little piece under the cabinet of wood.
Oh.
And so its body is over there, but its leg is hanging back attached to the trap.
What did you do?
So we had, it was this little challenge to try and pull the mouse out. I didn't want to pull too hard and like
rip off its leg.
Yeah, or just let go of it, which has happened before.
We've got a bleeder.
I've accidentally let go of a mouse when pulling the trap out. Like I accidentally opened the trap.
Somehow, I see.
Or it was just barely caught. Well, by the time I pull this guy out, I realize I think his leg is twisted around. But
this sounds a lot more humane than the old mouse trap.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's very humane.
Shouldn't it be like mouse-same? Moose-same?
So I grabbed a leather glove to be able to just grab this mouse by the leg and pull him out from under the counter. And of course, he started trying to bite the leather glove. And I Yikes. Threw him in a little plastic pitcher, the pitcher we got the iced tea out of. No, not that one, but a different one. And so I realized...
It's my secret ingredient. Well,
even before I got this guy, I realized I'm going to have to kill this guy again since the mouse trap didn't do it. And there was another mouse trap set up in the room. And I actually had the thought of grabbing the other mouse trap and like holding it right in front of him and snapping it on his head.
Say goodbye.
You're going to get caught in two mice traps. Mouse traps.
Mouse traps, yes.
But no, I pulled him out, put him in this pitcher, and then just got this block of wood that we had down here for firewood. Just like carefully laid it on top of him because I didn't want blood to splatter everywhere. So I carefully laid it on top of him and just pounded a few times. And he screamed a few times too. And Jenny's there watching all of this.
Wow.
I thought she'd be grossed out by it, but
that's awesome.
No, she didn't. She wasn't.
You wasted an opportunity here.
I did?
Yes. You can stop yourself from killing the mouse. So, you know, everybody's happy. If, you know, maybe they don't like you killing animals, and you just take it to the yard of a neighbor you don't like and just lob it through the air into their yard. It gets scared, can't figure out why the giant human was merciful and runs into their house. Let them decide whether to kill it or let it live. Problem solved.
Yeah, that'll work.
With its little twisted leg.
Or throw it into their pool. Yeah. As my loving wife just suggested in the chat room. Which, by the way, we have a chat room that goes live whenever we podcast or webcast live.
Whenever we're alive.
Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join us live over at theramenoodle.com/live and enjoy these shows live.
That's right.
So that was a rather long random noodle update. But Jeremy, what do you have as a random noodle update?
My week wasn't funny again. So that's why yours was long enough for the both of us.
Whoa, mine that's was long.
That's what I'm going to say. Yours, yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
Yours was a little mousy. I don't even know what that means in this context, so we should probably move on.
It just squeaked a little. And then, oh, yeah. We did wash the pitcher, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we let it soak and then just, you know, rinse it out.
We let the mouse soak in there, and then we rinsed out the pitcher and put it away.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, time for this.
Ring, ring, hello. Ring, ring, hello. Ring, ring, hello. Ring, ring, hello. Ring, ring.
You have a bad connection.
If you would like to send us some feedback, you can send it to feedback@noodle.mx. Call in to 859-353-4332. Or leave a comment on our show notes, which is theramenoodle.com/55 for this episode. Now, last week's episode, we talked about daylight saving time. And some people shared what they did with their extra hour. Mm-hmm. Many people did not, though, because they got the message too late. Well, a couple people or a few people emailed us sharing what they did with the extra hour.
And because of that extra hour, we didn't have time to read them last week.
Right.
So we have them now.
Yeah. Right.
It makes sense. Just move on.
Okay. The planet of Jupiter emailed us.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's Jupiter. Wow. Here's his email address, Jupiter@, and then his email address.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, or maybe it's like John Upeter.
I love that you almost read the entire email address.
No, I'm not like that.
He
says, for daylight saving time, I spent an hour in dark rooms shooting laser guns at giant mutant insect aliens. Okay, all right. It was a video game. But I still did it, kind of. Sent via his BlackBerry.
Thank you, people of Jupiter, or whatever you people. I mean, dang it. Inhabitants of Jupiter. I don't know if you call yourselves people or selves. Thank you.
Alexandra wrote in to say that she said this. There are only so many ways you can spend that hour. I watched a movie, and then when the hour started over, I had to restart the movie because if I hadn't, there would have been some serious time loop problems. Open the shuttle bay doors next time. That always helps. With me watching two different parts of the same movie at the same time. Whoa, that's true. Wow. Jeez, what else would you do? That's what she said. I hate it when I do that. Moving on. That was not intentional. I'm sorry. I need to remove the clean tag from this episode.
It didn't even dawn on me what you had done for a moment. That's awesome.
I hate that phrase has gotten popular like that, because that is totally not what I meant.
Your mom hates that phrase has gotten popular too.
Now, Choosy Beggar from Twitter emailed this story to share. It was 1:45 a.m. as I approached the semi quiet back dusted corner to watch the momentous event of daylight saving time leave and time fly backwards for an hour. You can see a big Ben spinoff in the distance, so we're better to catch time doing a somersault. I was slightly delayed by a well-to-do looking inebriated older man shambling along. They're usually not happy to see the likes of me, but you can never tell. You just know what's going to happen in places like this because it's the land that time forgets. Enough exploring around here and you're sure to find a mummy or two. The time started hollering profanity. Oh, the man started hollering profanities before I got close, and he took a swing at me as I passed by, losing his balance and falling.
Is this true?
Eyes play tricks. We'll find out. Eyes play tricks. That's eyes, like, you know, your eyes, not like I was playing tricks.
Eyes plays tricks on all the views.
Eyes play tricks. I could swear there was a familiar-looking midget just behind him as he fell. I didn't care. That was me he was swinging at. If I see a familiar-looking midget around later, I'll be sure to show some appreciation.
What the heck?
I was starting to wonder if any superstitions had generated about daylight saving time when the preamble bells began. I just had a few yards to go to get the clock tower in view. Save the clock tower! But the sidewalk appeared to be stretching out before me as if I were falling headlong. Was I shot in the head? No. I'm still walking, not stumbling, as a matter of fact. There was an awfully wide paved gap in the sidewalk I had to jump across. Funny how I didn't remember it being there. Something was crawling out of my pocket. A giant bug. No! It looks like an oversized pocket knife, and it's getting bigger. I ran just in case it grew legs or something. I realized that I was reaching the still receding corner when this low bond sound, like you might hear from a giant Tibetan bell envelope.
Bong?
Me. Oh, from a giant from a giant Tibetan bell. Enveloped me. Enveloped me. I mean. I looked up. The skyline was strangely familiar, but different. And there was no clock.
Kind of like a dream.
And there was no clock tower. Instead, there was a cat about the size of a bus pitter-pattering. That's what it says. Pitter-pattering its way across the street, going back the direction I had come from. I heard hushed but urgent voices. It sounded much like any language. It didn't sound much like any language I recall. The cat began to cross over to my side of the street. As I wonder whether the source of voices is more dangerous than the big kitty that has yet to see me, I notice a huge man coming round my side of sequoia-sized tree stump. He looks to the other side as the cat trots toward my side of the street. He turns to me using the stop-wait signal. The cat disappears behind the stump, and I began to move towards the... How does a cat the size of a bus hide behind a stump?
Well, it was a sequoia-sized stump.
Okay, true.
Which, you know, whether that was an actual sequoia or, like, a car called sequoia.
Sequoia isn't the little Japanese trees that they train?
Nope, that'd be bonsai. Those?
Okay. Sequoia, yes. Bonsai, no.
What about bedwetting?
The cat disappears behind the stump, and I begin to move towards the street until I notice a furry plum sticking out from some distance behind
Ew.
It.
Ew.
Plume.
Oh.
It's a furry plum.
It was moldy fruit the size of a house. And as soon as I bit into it,
I stop. The cat has frozen, listening. Suddenly, there is a shout, and what I can only describe, an electrostatic explosion occurs around the cat. The man in armor waves me over. Oh, he's suddenly in armor.
And he says, my name is Desmond.
Just like Lost. I don't really want to go, but I'm not sure running would make him less dangerous than the cat. He's giving me a quizzical look when I approach. He's pretty tall, but not as much as I thought. After finding out he can speak English, he's asking who I am and what I'm doing there. I explain that I really have no idea. I see that he's not sure what to believe, so I tell him that as far as I'm concerned, we're both in the same boat because I don't know about him either. He says his people have been here for ages.
By the stump and this giant cat.
We're well aware of my people, but never expected to meet one face to face. He wanted to know if I had noticed anything unusual before I met him. Yeah, a cat the size of a bus. I told him that things seemed to somehow change, and something large seemed to be crawling out of my pocket back a ways. He asked to see if I could get it, but don't get close to the cat. I carefully went over to the other side of the stump, and there was the cat, frozen in creeping mode.
Why did you do that?
I was afraid to move. Some stocky man in bright colored clothing told me not to worry about the cat. Just don't get close. As I leerily approached the point the cat had been creeping towards, several burly men were carrying a large board with some type of brass rails atop the edges and a big furry creature on the back. As I passed behind them, I noticed it looked like a big dog that looks spoiled, considering its large posterior. Had a big butt, in other words.
Yeah, thanks. Got it.
I said, do you guys think that big dog is going to beat that huge cat? Although the cat was huge, it was more car-sized than bus-sized. I still would think twice against pitting a pack of wolves against it. They simply told me to stay away from it. I went to see if I could find the bug or whatever it was that came out of my pocket. there was a man musing at a piece of large debris on the sidewalk. As he saw me approach, I think I detected recognition on his face. He said, "I was wondering if I should risk it. Do you know what it's made of?" I walked around it and saw that it looked like a 2-foot folded pocket knife. I said, "It's probably from a novelty shop. Who knows? Have we met?" "Not exactly," he said. I want you to give me a minute and then touch it. Wait, touch, touch the minute? Weird context there.
I seriously don't believe that this all happened in an hour. Can't even tell it in an hour.
I thought that was peculiar, so I told him I'd give him a minute by being back in a minute or so. What? As I continued to look for signs of a similarly colored bug or whatnot, I heard a rumbling yell. Suddenly, a bunch of short people scurried out of a doorway and scattered into the bright, dusky night. I wondered if my bug could be in there, as I had yet to find it. I climbed the stairway and saw a door open into a brightly lit office. Inside was a giant breathing heavily and looking stupefied, like apparently all giants do.
Well, they do.
No offense to giants listening to this podcast. The place smelled like a distillery. I nonchalantly asked if he'd seen an unusual bug. He said, "Who are you? Is your mommy and daddy around? You shouldn't be wandering around places like this. How did you get here at this hour?" I realized that this giant could... Oh, wait. "Who are you? Is your mommy and daddy really? Around? You shouldn't be wandering around places like this. How did you get here at this hour?"
This story needed voices.
I realized that this giant could somehow be related to the punk that swung at me a while ago.
Of course. Of course. With the midgets behind him. The familiar midget.
They call the giant tiny. I couldn't think of what to say, but he said, "That's all right, child. Just wait a minute. Wait for me a minute and we'll go look for your parents." I ditched out of there quick, but to my surprise, he was close behind. It was dark on that staircase as I flew down.
You could fly?
He misstepped and came tumbling after. I ran outside and saw an even bigger giant coming.
Of course.
There's always a bigger giant. I darted behind a parked car. The giant hadn't noticed me. The drunken giant came out of the staircase doorway and into the other giant. As this was happening, it was a giant crash. As this was happening, I ran around the parked car and drop kicked the drunken giant on the knee joint.
Oh, that's not a drop kick, my friend.
Yeah, unless he's like kneeling. Then I ran back towards the corner behind the parked cars. Across the street, there seemed to be a group of short people talking and looking apprehensively in my direction.
Now, is that short people or shorter than one or both giants? Because at this point, all sizes seem to be relative.
They're all related, so they are all
apparently
relative.
Even the cat.
They looked oddly familiar, though. I trotted over and I said, "You folks look familiar. What's up?" They said one of their people were missing. I realized that these were from the same people I met earlier. There was a man there who looked just like the big man I'd seen earlier. They said they thought their fellow's disappearance coincided with my appearance and might have something to do with whatever crawled out of my pocket. Did I find it?
Someone said that to me last week.
Did I find it? I told them I would continue to look for it. As I crossed the street, I noticed a very large cat poised to pounce on a big rat that was on a huge mouse trap.
Oh my gosh.
This is like weird that all of this is like so related to tonight.
Are you having issues with feeling small?
Neither moved. How strange. There on the ground was my bug. No, it's an oversized pocket knife made of stainless steel. Like mine. I seem to have lost mine. Maybe this one will do. I bent over to pick it up. As I grabbed it, I suddenly felt top heavy and fell over.
Drunk.
I have a lot of allergies this time of year. Well, yeah, apparently. Yeah,
it's the allergies.
Yeah, she's allergic to giant pocket knives. They make her break out in rashes and fall over. I have a lot of allergies this time of year, so it's not so surprising. Was that a loud snap and a cat yowl I just heard? I looked up and saw that it's 1:25 a.m. Where does the time go? I wondered. The end.
I need an extra hour to...
That could have been the featured story.
I think it might have been. Or something. Wow.
That was an amazing story. That's from Choosy Beggar. You can follow her on Twitter at Choosy Beggar.
But what did you do with the rest of the hour? It's only 1:25.
Well, and it started out at 1:45.
Oh. But still, it was only part of the extra hour. Wow.
Yeah.
My brain hurts.
Thank you very much for sending that in. Everybody should go follow Choosy Beggar on Twitter. That was brilliant. Now, if you want to send in your feedback, please don't make it this long. If you do, I better make sure that I realize how long it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we could have made that two parts. My goodness.
Yeah. You can send your feedback to feedback@noodle.mx or call in to 859-353-4332 or leave a comment on the show notes at theramennoodle.com/55.
When this episode airs in reruns, it will be split right in the middle of that story with a nice cliffhanger and previews for next week on the Ramen Noodle.
And there was a cat the size of a bus. Tune in next week to hear the end of this story. Oh boy, that was intense and long and intensely long. But speaking of intense and long, you've got a story to tell us, Jeremy.
Yes. This is going to be
good, I can tell.
Oh, no, no. This is a tale of going away from home and back again and away and back again and away and back again.
No way.
What happened?
Oh boy, this is going to be good, I can tell.
And I'm sure you will make many comments as I go, but probably not in your female voice. He murmurs. As you may or may not know, I grew up.
No, we don't know that.
Shush.
You grew up? Seriously? Actually, it's probably me that people think didn't grow up.
That's the whole story right there. Isn't that great? No.
Okay, so as people may or may not know, you grew up.
I grew up on the West Coast.
Oh.
And I do not currently reside on the West Coast.
Ah.
There's an airport near where we live. People know we're in the Cincinnati area, so I suppose I can talk about that.
Yes.
It's very convenient. It's a nice airport. It's only about 10 minutes away. But there is one airline that is dominant at this airport. It's one of their hubs. And I suppose hub means something to the airline industry. But for the purposes of this story, it means gang. And so
hub means gang,
or I should Got say it. It means turf, because each airline is a gang and our airport is largely dominated as the turf of one particular gang.
So this is airline. The place where all the airplanes get together and have drinks together, and if you disturb them and step into their turf, then they're gonna go beat up on you,
something along those lines. They just dominate the area. And so as it turned out, I was going to visit the West Coast, my home, and I was able to save, I can't remember, it was $100 or $200 by driving to a city an hour and a half away and flying out of there. This particular flight that I got had a layover here. here in Cincinnati. So I drove an hour and a half and flew home and was here for a while. And then I took the plane to the West Coast.
Don't you love the airplane system?
Yeah, it's great.
But I have a feeling this gets worse or better.
But, you know, as I was booking the flight, the guy on the line with the airline told me, you know, on the way back, when you get home for your layover, just ask for your luggage and you can just go home. I said, okay, that's great. So I go to Oregon and I visit and have all sorts of fun and frivolity. I was there Oregon. For a friend's wedding. So the end of all that fun and frivolity actually came in two parts. He was getting married and I had dinner with his family a couple days before the wedding.
So at the end of all the fun and frivolity, he got married. That's the way it sounded.
Yes, but no, but yes. He barely got married.
Okay.
See, now, I shouldn't necessarily place the blame for what happened later on this, but I do. I strongly suspect it, so I'm going to. His brother had been living in Mexico, and he brought back some cheese and probably some other things. And we had some of this cheese on our tacos that night. This was Thursday night. Saturday morning, I had gone to a retreat, like a church retreat, with the people that I was staying with. And I woke up Saturday morning. Actually, I felt normal when I woke up. And about 5 minutes later, I was sick as a dog. horrible stomach upset. I wasn't sure I was going to get to go to the wedding. But the day progressed and I started to get better. And we go to the wedding. And we sit down. And as the wedding...
Were you like scratching yourself the whole time like you had fleas?
Scratching myself. What do fleas have to do with anything?
You said you were sick as a dog.
Oh, not that kind of sick.
Okay.
No, I probably had fleas, but... It wasn't because of that.
Okay, so you were a flea-bitten varmint going to a wedding.
Yes. I was barely keeping it together. And they're getting ready for the wedding. You know, the groom comes out and the wedding party and everything. And they bring the groom a chair. And he's sitting in that. There's this, you know, there's this part where they're singing and things like that. Singing hymns and whatnot. And he's sitting down for all of this. And at one point during one of the songs, he actually got up and ran off the stage and ran into another room. And he came back and he just looked horrible.
Oh.
And they got through the wedding.
Did he have like chunks hanging from his tuxedo?
No, he didn't. But one of our mutual friends was running sound and they were mic'd. So I heard about that later.
Never do anything other than, never leave the room if you're mic'd. He was speaking French in the other room.
Well, I don't know about that, but, oh, that's right. You have a different term, a different meaning for speaking French.
Yes.
I was like, I don't think he was swearing.
Vomiting.
Yeah, poor French listeners. So he comes back out and he looks terrible. And they finish the ceremony. And promptly put him in an ambulance and take him away. And it was.
Did they decorate the ambulance on the back of it? They've got just married. And they've got the little cans hanging from the back of the ambulance.
No, I don't think anybody thought of that. But in retrospect, that might have been a nice touch. Yeah. So they missed their own reception. It was rather sad. But I thought, what are the chances that we're both sick on this morning? I blame something we ate.
Mm, the tacos.
How does that relate to the plane? Well,
the plane had really bad gas.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Ew. But my stomach was still upset the next day when I had to fly home. So I flew home. My layover in Cincinnati that I wasn't going to do anything with was supposed to be 4 hours.
Yikes. That's a lot of time to go home, have lunch, come back to the airport, and then fly on to Columbus.
No, it wasn't Columbus. It was Louisville.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I got there. I got off the plane. I asked for my luggage, and The lady kindly informed me that that's called ticket fraud and that they can't give me my luggage. I have to go pick it up in Louisville.
Oh.
And my grandparents were in town. And so I went home and had dinner. And and then because I felt sick and because I like to fly probably, but also because I didn't want to be in the car for an hour and a half, I, you know, and it's only like a half an hour flight as it turns out. So I just got dropped off at the airport and my dad and my grandpa made a road trip of it and they drove down to Louisville and met me where I got my luggage. And And then we still had to make the car ride back.
We'll meet you in Louisville. We'll drive, you fly. We'll see who gets there first. Ready, set, go.
Yeah, I mean, they left pretty much right away when they dropped me off, and I'm waiting around the airport and then getting on the plane. Then we take off. Then there's like the 30-minute flight, and I get off, and there they are. So Pepto-Bismol tablets were my friend for that flight. So that's my travel story.
Wow. Was there a giant cat involved?
I think I saw one. I think I saw that entire scene play out from the plane as I flew over. I was like, is that a giant cat and some familiar midgets?
And look, a drunk giant just ran into that not drunk giant.
Do you have any travel stories since we're coming up on Thanksgiving?
Oh, travel stories.
It's good. Everybody starts thinking about travel. These are the kinds of things you can look forward to, especially if you're flying.
Yeah, going back and forth, and getting nowhere.
But hey, I saved at least $100 by flying to and from my home city instead of flying from and to my home city. Figure that one out.
Yeah, I got that. To and from and from and to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Oh, boy. Yeah, I've noticed lots of interesting things along the way of flying, but I think I'm going to save those for a little while because your story was actually funny, and I had some things as backup just in case your story wasn't funny. No. It's just that we're getting close to an hour.
We are.
Yeah. Yeah, because of Choosy Beggar's long story, which is actually longer than yours.
I know. We should have. I wonder if there's Citrix, if you're listening, I think you should develop a new product. Go to Dream. We could share dreams. It could be like Inception.
Ooh.
Which is actually why everyone seemed familiar, I think, in that dream.
Ah, yeah.
Because they were starting to figure out. I forget how that works. Anyway, go see the movie. You'll know what I'm trying to talk about.
Mm. Well, not and go I don't see the movie.
I don't want to give spoilers. Rent
it or borrow it now. Oh. Because it's on DVD.
Well, that's kind of sad. It's better in the theater.
Apparently, though, it's not in Netflix.
But, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think.
Weird.
But I think it is on DVD now.
Maybe. Divd.
Divd. Yeah.
I like to say divd.
Divd.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice. You can use that in CSS, too. Web design stuff. Yeah, but we're going to forego some of the other content that we normally have in the ramen noodle, like the weekly noodleism and Bachelor Boot Camp.
Bachelor?
Bachelor Boot Camp.
That's because Sergeant Packet is dreaming about giant cats right now.
No, he's dreaming of a white Christmas. You should see or hear him sing about a white Christmas. He's got the Bing Crosby and everything.
I really hope that this December we might hear Sergeant Packet sing White Christmas.
I don't know if you really want him to sing anything.
Oh, I do. That I do.
Maybe, yeah, I'll come and talk about songs or something.
Nope, like sing.
That. Sing?
Tell him I said sing.
Okay.
And he has to obey me because I'm his boss.
Oh, he would have major disagreement with that.
I sign his paychecks.
Yeah, right. So if you guys have some fun stories to share with us, and hey, coming up on Thanksgiving, here's what we want to hear from you especially is What are you thankful for? Funny things. I don't mean like send us a serious thing. Like I'm thankful for my parents and my family. No, we don't want to hear that kind of crap. We want to know the funny things you're thankful for. If you can tell us something you're thankful for in a funny way, just don't make it as long as Choosy Beggar or else we might have to make you the featured story.
We love you, Choosy Beggar. Beggar. however I want to pronounce it.
But also tell us what you... How did you word it earlier?
I want to know what you're thankful that you do not have.
Yes.
What absences are you thankful for?
Yes. Like if you had your kidney removed or something, you can say
I'm thankful I don't have a hole in my head. You know, except the ones I'm supposed to have. I have those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except I'm missing a nostril. You don't know because you can't see me unless you're watching Ustream. Shh, quiet.
You don't notice it when I twirl my head like this.
Ustream viewers, don't tell them it's not true. Yeah.
So tell us the funny things that you're thankful for. Tell us actual things you're thankful for, but in a funny way. Or tell us the things you are thankful that you do not have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful that I do not have a lump like under my neck or something, a giant like weird thing grow thing. I'm thankful that I don't have mold growing on my back.
I'm thankful that the ramen noodle does not have mold growing on his back.
You're thankful for that too?
Yeah.
We should start a club.
I think it'd be weird.
It'll be the Moldy Back Podcast.
Oh my goodness. I feel sick now. And it's not Mexican cheese.
So you can send that to us at feedback@noodle.mx or call into 859-353-4332 or leave a comment on the show notes, which will be at theramennoodle.com/55. Remember a couple other things too, is that we are still having the giveaway and the cutoff date. I don't think I've mentioned this before, but the cutoff date for this giveaway will be Thanksgiving Day. In American time. But this contest is limited to only the people in the contiguous U.S. states. That's like all of Americans except Alaskans and Hawaiians and Costa Ricans and whatever else we claim ownership to or
anywhere whatever. We can get to without a passport
or pay lots of money to ship something.
Or a plane or a ship.
Here's what we're giving away. We're giving away a Tron Legacy poster. These things are awesome posters.
The ramen noodle will be delivering it in person.
Yes. Oh, you just made everyone not want to get it. Jeremy will be no.
Oh crap. All expenses paid by the ramen noodle.
We are giving away this Tron Legacy poster for free, or maybe a couple of them. And here's what you have to do to enter, and that is simply subscribe to our email newsletter. You can do that at noodle.mx. Just look over on the right side where there is either a email subscription box or the email icon, or look at the footer of the website, noodle.mx, and you'll see the subscription form there. And it's the same thing, the ramennoodle.com, you'll also see it there, and the sign-up forms and everything. So all you have to do is just subscribe to the email newsletter, and you will be automatically entered in the contest. And I will randomly pull someone from there and dangle them from their heads, kind of like you can do on the Nintendo Wii, and then drop that person on a Tron Legacy poster and then put it in a little wrapper and then mail it back to their home for completely free. So just go over to theramennoodle.com and subscribe to the Noodle Mix newsletter, and I promise I will not spam you. I'm limiting it to one email per week, even during the holidays. I'm not going to like email people multiple times a week during the holidays, like most places do.
I don't sell anything.
And so first place prize is the Tron Legacy poster. Second place prize is a midget. A familiar midget.
I don't even think we're allowed to say midget technically, but...
Oh, we'll send a mouse foot to you. They're good luck, you know. You can use them in potions.
It's rabbit's foot.
I'm going to get to see a screening of Harry Potter tomorrow, Tuesday night. It comes out.
Is it more than 23 minutes?
Yes.
Oh, good.
But that'll be fun. My wife and I are going. But so I'm thinking like all of these potions now, and I wanted to save the feet and knees and tail and nose of the mouse so I could use them in potions and stuff, but Jenny wouldn't let me. She even washed out the blood I was collecting in the pitcher, and it just...
Oh my god!
I was going to use it to wash off the chicken.
No, she didn't. I think that's what I had at dinner.
Oh, that's what flavored my iced tea. Yeah, these little chunks in there, that's like mouse gut inside of my iced tea.
This is yucky.
So, like we said, subscribe to the newsletter. Also, final announcement. Please nominate us in the podcast awards. And we have three different podcasts in the Noodle Mix Network. We want all three of those nominated. Nominate The Ramen Noodle for comedy. Nominate Are You Just Watching for movies/films. And nominate The Audacity Podcast for technology. If you want some more details on it, please go to noodle.mx/podcast awards. That's noodle.mx/podcast awards. Or I'll have some details also in the show notes for this episode, theramennoodle.com/55. So as we prepare to head out, Jeremy, do you have any last thoughts or any challenges for the people out there?
Challenges? No.
Okay. Now, please remember, send us your funny stories. Feedback at noodle.mx, 859-353-4332, or leave a comment on the show notes at theramennoodle.com/55. Next time life makes you feel like an amateur, remember, keep laughing because you're not the only one. Oh, and by the way, follow us on Twitter. I'm twitter.com/theramennoodle.
Twitter.com/phlegon, phlegon.
And... yeah, well, we already said the tagline, so that's it.
We love you all.
And happy Thanksgiving if you're listening to this episode late.
Find more great clean podcasts like this one at cleancasts.com.
I wanted to try and sing because I was like, oh, we're in a department store elevator.